for us, you are with us, you surround us, you are our protector, our shield, our fortress, our refuge. Praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time that you've given us to worship you through singing and now through your word. And we just pray that you would pour your spirit out upon us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, Lord. May you be blessed. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening, everyone. How is everybody? Fine? Fine and dandy? One quick announcement. Well, maybe two. We just have one more time of meeting in here, and then we take our break for the summer. And then the other thing is that we've started that new fellowship that we are calling Fun Fit Fellowship. It's a monthly activity. It might be walking, it might be hiking, it might be cycling, it might be climbing, it might be something like that. So the flyers and everything should be out this Sunday. You could grab one and look at that and see which one or all of them that you can do or attempt to do. You might as well just attempt to do it. And if you walk slower than everybody else, it's okay because you'll probably have somebody walking slow with you. So you won't be alone, and it's good, good fellowship. So tonight we are looking at a Bible woman who was very courageous and faith-filled. She made herself available to God, and God used her in a mighty way. We're going to be in Judges chapter 4 and 5, talking about learning from Deborah. But let's get a little background before we learn about her, just so we know what the time she was living and what she was dealing with. You remember that the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they multiplied, and then the time came where God delivered them from Egypt. So he used Moses to take them out of Egypt into the promised land, but because of unbelief, what would have taken just a day's journey, they wandered for 40 years. And during that 40 years, God gave them his law, his commands, and instruction on how to live as his special and unique people. So at the end of 40 years, God took Moses and Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. They were supposed to go in and they were supposed to defeat all of the people in the land that were enemies, enemies of God. They were pagans, they were heathens, they worshiped other gods, and God's people were to go in there and utterly destroy them to possess the land. And each tribe was given a portion of land to settle in. They were to go in and conquer. And if you know the history of the children of Israel, they did not do that. They went in and they fought, but they didn't defeat the enemy completely. They pushed them to the place of where they were there. The enemy was their servants, but they didn't wipe them out. And so there was hundreds of years of this, of a pattern where God's people would be victorious. They would follow him and worship him and subdue the enemy. And then they would kind of get sluggish or lethargic or whatever, and the enemy would rise up and start to go after them. They would cower, they would fall, they would start worshiping their gods, and they would do that for a time, and then time would pass, and then they'd had it, and they cried out to the Lord, and then because he's so gracious, he would then raise up a judge to lead them and help them out of this, and they would then conquer the enemy again, and the enemy would be their servant, and then it would repeat over and over and over again because of their failure, maybe their lack of faith, unbelief, or they just didn't want to. And so that pattern went on for years and years. And so in chapter 4, by this time, there had been 3 judges and 160 years of them with this pattern in the land. And so that's when we meet this woman by the name of Deborah. Now, Deborah, as I said, and if you know anything about her, you know she was a courageous woman. She seemed to be fearless, and she was very close to the Lord and available to him to allow. He just used her in a mighty way. Her name means bee, be like a busy bee, or I don't know what, but that's what her name means. And God, by his grace, chose a woman to judge his people. Now, men were and are to be spiritual leaders. God clearly says in his word, and because of the fall, because of the curse, that Eve was deceived and man was deliberate, that he did not have the woman be the spiritual leader, the spiritual head in her family or within a church. She is to her children, she is in her ministries to women and things like that. But at this time, God chose a woman to judge his people. Now, perhaps, who knows? I mean, there's all kinds of opinions and everything. Maybe he could not find a man who would be strong and lead his people. In those days, especially in those days, for a woman to be a judge or to lead a man or lead a group of people, it was humiliating to the nation. And Warren Wiersbe, a commentator, he says, "For God to give his people a woman judge was to treat them like little children, which is exactly what they were when it came to spiritual things." Deborah, later in chapter 5, even calls herself a mother in Israel. So let's read and let's meet her, find out who she was and what we can learn from her. Judges 4, verse 1. "When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, and who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." So the first thing we learn about Deborah is that she was a prophetess. You know, we have been on Sunday evenings going through the minor prophets and these men who God had called to speak to his people, to warn his people, to give judgment to stir them up, to do what is right. So that's a prophet, is somebody who speaks for God. It's a calling. It's a gift of God. And so she, in being a woman, is a prophetess. So she was called and gifted by God. So Deborah was not only a follower of God, because obviously God wouldn't have chosen her if she was not. So she was a follower, but she was also a seeker of God and a listener of God. God knows who he chooses, and all but one in the Old Testament of Jonah, who was the reluctant prophet, These men had to have had a relationship with him. Deborah had to have had a relationship with him, and she was seeking him and listening to him, listening to his voice. So, like Jonah, being the reluctant prophet, even for her as the first and only woman judge, she was available. She was, whatever you want, Lord, I will do. So she was willing. She was obedient to be used by God, available to him and to speak for him. The next thing we learn is that she was a wife. So she was married. And we know nothing about her husband. And a lot of times when the Bible doesn't say much, lots of people like to write books about that, about what he probably, you know, could have been and all that kind of a thing. So it's really not good to speculate. So we don't know anything about him other than he was her husband and that he did not stop her from fulfilling her ministry and serving the Lord. I don't know how many of you have ever read or currently read these Christian fiction books, and they have lots of them about the women of the Bible or men of the Bible or whatever. I read one time years and years ago, and it was actually on Deborah. And I thought, okay, this is interesting. I'm a real literal, concrete person, so what the Bible says is what the Bible says, and I don't, you know, you're adding a lot of stuff because that's what they do in fiction. But when they got to the part where Deborah was in a chariot with her hair blowing in the wind and Sisera, and she was giving him the eye, I thought, okay, that's enough of that. So you might enjoy them, and that's fine. Just be careful and remember that they're not real. It's all pretend, because sometimes if we read those and we're not as familiar with the Bible character, we can... Well, hey, what about the part where she was in the chariot? You know, we can get confused. So just be careful with that. So Deborah was a prophetess. She was a wife. She was also a judge. And she would then sit under this palm tree that they probably named the palm tree of Deborah. And God's people would come to her to settle their disputes, to ask for God's wisdom that she could give them, just, you know, help me through this trial that I'm in, or that kind of thing. So being a judge, this too is a calling, and it is a gift from God. She didn't self-appoint herself. God used her, called her and used her. And again, she made herself available to the Lord and then to his people, to be kind of a mediator of, because their relationship was different than ours is with Jesus and having the Holy Spirit indwell us, so that they would come and she would be a peacemaker. And she would say, this is the word of the Lord, and this is what you should do in this situation, and make peace and that type of thing. So she was obedient to her calling as a prophetess and as a judge. Well, let's continue reading in verse 6. Then she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zanaim, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak had the son of Abaniah that had gone up to the Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword, and not a man was left. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazar, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not fear." And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there a man here?' you shall say, 'No.'" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple and went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Now this is a tough woman. Now those the women back then, they would be the ones that would put up the tent, so they would have to be strong and everything, but you know, that's tough. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you the man whom you seek." And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with a peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Okay, so now we see that Deborah is a leader and a warrior. She was courageous. She was not afraid to stand up for God's ways and to do what is right. She was obedient no matter what it would cost her. And it could have cost her her life, but that didn't matter to her. She was not afraid to go into battle. She had called for Barak, and she then exhorted him to get moving, exhorted him into action. Two times in verse 6 and 14, she said, "Has not the Lord said, 'Now get up and go. It's time. Today is the day.'" Was he hesitating? We don't know, but she exhorted him twice. He had said, "I will not go unless you go with me." Now he, as we read, he's a warrior. So it's like he's not afraid to fight, and maybe he's not even afraid that he could be injured or lose his life, but he didn't want to go without her. And you think, why would that be? Well, maybe He wanted her to go to back him up when he goes to get the other guys. If the guys, they see Deborah, okay, then we'll go and fight. Who knows? These are things, of course, that I've read in the commentary that they throw out. Nobody's saying what happened, but possible. Was it maybe because she was a prophetess? She heard from the Lord, and he wanted to make sure, since maybe God wasn't speaking to him personally, that, okay, we recognize that this woman God speaks to, and we want her with us. Or because she just has a close relationship with the Lord, and you know how sometimes you want to be around people who have a really good, close relationship with the Lord, so maybe it'll rub off on you. Who knows? But we do know that Deborah didn't argue with him, but she did say, I mean, she rose and went with him, but she did say, you're not going to get any glory for this. You know, you're going to fight this battle, but you're not going to get Sisera. He's going to be given to a hand of a woman, which again, it would be probably humiliating for men in that time. And then chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. So we see that Deborah is a worshiper. And that was her immediate response. They said on that day to give God praise, to give God the glory, because he is the one who gave the victory. And for her to do that quickly, to me, it speaks of somebody who's in the habit of doing that, who's in the habit of acknowledging God, what he does, when he answers prayer, when he gives you a victory, that she acknowledges it, and it just came forth from her to acknowledge him, to praise him, to worship him. In the rest of chapter 5, which we won't read, she then just kind of goes over what had happened so that the people would never forget and would be never forget that it was God. And then, of course, she put in one verse that reminded them that Jael was the one who got the bad guy. And let's not forget that. Deborah, to me, I love her. She's quite a woman. And I don't see her, of course, this is just me again. I don't see her as this, you know, big burly thing. I just see her as a woman of faith, strong, courageous, willing, available, and obedient to the Lord. So what can we learn from her? I've learned a lot from her over the years. Well, one of the things that we can learn from her is that Deborah was called by God and gifted by him. That's very important, that she didn't self-appoint herself to be a judge, to be a leader, to be a prophetess. God called her and gifted her. God calls each one of us into service, some kind of serving him, ministry. Each one of us, we are to be actively serving the Lord, just as Deborah did. And when he calls us, he gifts us. He gives us and equips us what we need for the calling he puts on our lives. If he didn't do that, then why would you call someone if they have to figure it all out? It's not going to work. When he calls, he then equips us. And we, each one of God's people, has at least one spiritual gift to then be used in our service to the Lord. It does not matter how old we are, young, old, anything in between, we're still called and we're still gifted. It doesn't matter what our education level is. if you can't read, or if you can't write, or if you have, you know, 14 degrees, it doesn't matter. God calls, He gives. Doesn't matter where we live, what location we are in. He still can call us. He still will gift us. If we're married or if we're single, it doesn't matter. We're still called. We're still gifted. If we think we have inabilities, weaknesses, and insecurities, well, we're right, because everyone does. There's not a person alive that doesn't have some kind of an issue or weakness or insecurity or inability or whatever. And better that you do, because then you know God's going to get the glory. So we are all called. We are all gifted to serve the Lord and then fulfill the ministry that He has given us. What is that for you? If you don't know, then you need to ask the Lord, what is that for me? Where? What do you have for me? I'm told I have. You're giving me a ministry. You're calling me to something, and then you're gifting me in that. What is it, Lord? Where is that place of service? And then step out. And if you don't know, talk to someone. Talk to one of the pastors, or talk to your group leader, or talk to someone to say, well, where do you think I should serve? What do you see? Because sometimes other people can see your giftings better than you can. And it can be like obvious to them, you should do blah, 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 because you are blah, 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 you know, just go do it. We just need to step out. And when we're brand new, I had no clue. So I was the type of person that just tried every ministry that there was just to figure it out, you know. Okay, well, that's not it, because that's, you know, I can't do that, but, you know, I can do this. So ask the Lord. And then be confident that He's called you and gifted you in that. The other thing that we can learn from her, and I certainly have, is that, you know, she was used mightily because she stuck close to the Lord. She had a relationship with Him. She could hear Him. She knew His heart. She knew His word. And so she could hear Him speaking, and she could give that to the people that would come to her. So keep Jesus close. Personal, intimate relationship with the Lord is vital. It's our number one priority. And it's up to us, because He is here wanting to be close. We choose. We talked about that when we talked about Mary of Bethany. We choose to spend that time with Him. We choose how long to sit with Him. You know, we choose whether we're going to do all the talking and not listening, or are we going to talk and then we're going to listen to see what He has to say. So stay close. Have that quiet time, that daily time with the Lord. She could not have done what she did if she wasn't close to the Lord. The other thing is, she was available. And I like that word, available, because we live really busy lives. And busy people may not be that available. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." So that staying close and that being available. God's looking. He is looking for people. He's looking for women who are available, who are close to Him, have a relationship with Him that He can then use. So be available, and then be obedient into that, in whatever He's calling you to. Being available to lead his people, to help his people, to minister to his people. Some of us can get so busy that we're so busy doing the tasks and all these other things that we neglect the ministry of what he has called us to do in going to minister, because we're busy with the tasks instead of who we're to talk to, what we're to say to them, how we are to minister to them. Being available to the Lord is a selfless thing. And we have to learn how to be selfless, because we're pretty selfish all by ourselves. So we have to learn that selflessness. Oh, this is going to be a sacrifice. And people don't want to sacrifice anymore. But God calls us to a life of sacrifice. So we're, when you know what you're called to, how you're supposed to serve, who you're supposed to serve, where, that kind of a thing, then tune everything else out and let's fulfill what we are called to do. And if other things don't get done, maybe they don't need to get done. And that's taken me years to learn. Deborah was obedient to her calling. And are you using the gifts that God has given you? Are you being obedient right now? Or did you take, you know, a time off? Or, and everybody needs a little break, I'm not saying that, but, you know, we can self-appoint, I was doing that, and I'm just taking a whatever that word is called, hiatus, not a hyena, a hiatus. Sometimes you just start talking, and then you think, what am I saying? But to make sure we are being obedient in what he's called us to do. And don't wait for somebody to ask. It's too late. You know, what has he told you to do? Then you get up and you be obedient to that. Now, just to give you some ideas, there are lots of spiritual gifts. And you can check out, check out in the tape library. Go online and listen to, there's been lots of teachings on spiritual gifts. Damien has done quite a few. I did one a few summers ago. And so you can kind of think, okay, what are my gifts? But here are some practical ones. The gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, and Romans 12, and then in Ephesians 4 a little bit. So the gift of helps is listed in 1 Corinthians 12. The gift of helps, which is a wonderful gift. That means to take by the hand to make it easier for someone to do something by offering one's services or resources. So if you have the gift of helps, do you find yourself when you hear of a need or something that your response is, oh, I want to help. How can I help them? Perhaps you have the gift of helps. You know, we all pitch in and help, but the person with the gift of helps, that's the thing that comes into their mind the first, is I need to help this person. How can I help them? Oh, so-and-so is going to have surgery. She's going to need help with her kids. Or she's going to need meals, or she's going to need a ride to the doctor. You know, those kind of things. That's a person with the gift of helps. Am I being obedient? Am I being available and obedient in using that gift of helps? The gift of ministry is listed in Romans 12, and that's different than the gift of helps. The gift of ministry, that word means deacon, or for us, a deaconess. Those are physical type things, more with like within the church and the ministries within the church. I always think of Kathy Inglett, who's our event, you know, how she coordinates all of that stuff. I mean, she's got the gift of helps, but she's also kind of this gift of ministry, this deaconess. It's needed It's needed. You know, we have, when we have women's things, we always have the men here. They're always out kind of looking out for us, but they're not, you know, they're not among us. We need women doing that kind of ministry among us. So maybe he's gifted you in that area, and are you being obedient in fulfilling that? The gift of giving, as God blesses you with finances and resources, are you then blessing other people with them? Where the person with a gift of giving, they give to ministries, but they give to individuals, they give to missionaries. They're just, I love it, because it's like some people you see, and the Lord just brings it back to them, because he knows it's just going to flow right out. What a wonderful gift. Another practical gift is the gift of administration. And that's one who steers, directs, and navigates. It's so needed in the body of Christ. It's needed among women, where, because these, you know, the ministries, the extra things that we do, it takes planning, it takes organization, it takes coordination, it takes a lot of that type of thing. Is that your area that you're gifted in? And then are you giving it back to the Lord? And that administration can be on a church level, it can be an individual ministries, missions trips, or whatever it might be. Another wonderful, practical, needed gift is the gift of mercy. Do you have the gift of mercy? If you have the gift of mercy, please use that. Everyone will love it, because we all need mercy shown to us. And we should all be merciful. It's that compassion, that kindness, and encouragement that is the fruit of the Spirit. But this is a spiritual gift. This is like a double portion for that person who has the gift of mercy. They're going to be right there with the arm around a person, praying for them, encouraging them. If you have that gift, put it into action, please. Also, the gift of exhortation, that urging into action and obedience, just as Deborah did with Barak. Come on, hasn't God told you to do this? Now get up, let's go, let's get moving. That gift of exhortation is needed. It's needed in the body of Christ. In Hebrews 3:13, it says to exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And in Hebrews 10:24 and 25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. So we're all called to exhort one another, but there is the gift of exhortation, that God uses those people to stir other people up. And again, you know, today, nobody wants to say anything that might possibly hurt someone's feelings or step on someone's toes. And so People don't say anything about anything. They see something wrong. They see somebody kind of wandering off or kind of slacking off. Nobody says anything. And yet God says, exhort one another. If you have that gift, use that gift. Be available to God, obedient to God. The other thing that I see in Deborah is that she was a very wise woman. She was probably had a good head on her shoulders to begin with, but definitely the gift of wisdom. I mean, God gave her wisdom, his word, to then speak to people. I mean, how could you be a judge? How could you, you know, oversee people and help them in their problems and their disputes and things if you didn't have God's wisdom? God always gives us wisdom. In James, he tells us to ask. If you lack wisdom, ask of the Lord. So it's there for all of us on a daily basis. Proverbs is a great way to get wisdom. Proverbs tells us get wisdom. And every time I read the book of Proverbs, I'm getting wisdom. I'm learning more. I'm gaining more knowledge and more wisdom. So actively seek getting wisdom. Be around a wise person. Ask them questions. Learn from them. And then use that in your ministry, that the wisdom from the Lord. God blessed Solomon above and beyond. Solomon asked God for wisdom. God came to him in a dream. What would you like, Solomon? And Solomon said, I don't know how to be a king. I don't know how to go in and go out. I just need wisdom so I know how to handle what you've called me to. Well, that blessed God that he didn't ask for a long life. He didn't ask for riches. And God blessed him with all of that and so much more. So it says something about the Lord, how he wants us to ask him for wisdom. Be a wise woman and grow in wisdom. The other thing I see in her, and we can learn from her, is that she was fearless. It appears she was fearless. She was courageous, and she was a warrior. She was full of faith. How can you can't be full of faith and be fearful? So if you're fearless, you're going to be full of faith. She believed God. This is what God said. We're going to go out and we're going to do battle with the enemy and we're going to have victory because God said we are. So why would we be afraid? And I love that. And we are ambassadors of Christ. We are representing him to a lost world. We are representing him to the body of Christ. We are representing him to all of our loved ones and all of the people who are in our circle. We're an ambassador. We are a leader. We are, should be a fearless leader in that way, leading people to Christ. And again, God's commandments and his calling are his enablements. So we obey whatever he's calling us to do, just as Deborah did, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of our feelings, and in spite of the would-be consequences. So for Deborah, I mean, she could look at this, you know, here, I'm not a warrior. I'm not one of these guys that have fought many battles, but you're calling me to do this. So, you know, the circumstance doesn't look that great, and whatever, you know, feelings maybe she had or didn't have, I don't know, or the consequence. I could be shot with a arrow or whatever they did back then accidentally, you know? It could happen. I don't know how many of you read that book, The Insanity of God, or watched the movie that we showed. It's probably been a year now. If you haven't read that book or watched that, it's unbelievable. But if you did, and you remember this part where this pastor's wife who was imprisoned and she was hiding with the kids somewhere, and God had spoke to this man that said, you need to go provide food for this woman and her children. And he's, you know, kind of like, boy, this is scary because I could be arrested and thrown in prison or whatever. But he's, you know, loading his wagon up and everything to go. And then he said to the Lord, Lord, do you know that I could be killed in doing this? And the Lord said to him, I told you to go. I didn't tell you you weren't going to die. I just told you to go. And he went, and God spared him. But that's faith. That's, it's like, okay, you didn't promise me I'm not going to die. You didn't promise me I'm not going to get hurt. You didn't promise me I'm, you know, going to have great health and a sound mind and everything the rest of my life. You didn't promise me that. but you're telling me to do this, and I'm going to do it as long as I can. That's how I see Deborah, where she just went. Now, whether she actually went into the battle, it's probably unlikely, because women did not do that. And, you know, she wasn't a Joan of Arc or whoever those, you know, Wonder Woman people are. You know, she probably just there as they went. I don't know. But she wasn't afraid. We are in an ongoing spiritual battle every day of our lives as Christians. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And the weapons that we have, as you know, are not physical weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God." Ephesians 6, 17, and 18 tells us what they are. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all, I didn't write the whole verse. You know, the shield of faith, the breastplate of, I'm getting it all wrong. You know what it is. Or you don't, read it. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We do spiritual battle in prayer. Mighty warriors, prayer warriors, you've heard that term. And we need to use our sword and take up our shield, and we need to go into battle of intercession for our brothers and sisters, for God's people all over the world, a prayer warrior for lost souls, for the leaders of the nations, for biblically spiritual leaders around the world, prayer warrior, just as Deborah was not afraid to go into the battle, that we would stand and go into the battle. The last thing is that she was a worshiper, and that we would make it our habit immediately to give God praise and glory for what he has done, that we would acknowledge him and then praise him and tell others. Tell others. She wrote it down. She wrote it down so that they would not forget, so it would always be remembered. And so many times we keep our praise reports to ourselves because we think nobody's going to care and it doesn't really matter. It was just a little thing, but it wasn't a little thing. It meant a lot to you, didn't it? You know, let's share it. People love to hear that and rejoice and praise the Lord with you. Deborah is one of my Bible heroes, fearless, faith-filled wife, leader, warrior, worshiper. In her song, as we read, she said, "When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord." I said, amen to that. She was a leader, a good leader. She was willing to lead. And then she called herself a mother in Israel. And I love that. There's a tenderness there. And may we as Christian women lead as spiritual mothers. Your spiritual mother to someone, or probably more than you might think. And may we be a spiritual mom and lead with faith and courage. Father, thank you for this example that you have placed in your word, that we can learn about Deborah. And I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to speak to our hearts as we leave and through this week, as we go over our discussion questions, and show us, Lord, what we need to learn, and show us where we need to grow and what we need to do. And I pray that you would pour out your spiritual gifts upon my sisters, and they would hear from you, Lord. They would know that it is from you, and they would rise up. They would be available. They would be willing. They would be obedient, Lord, to whatever you are calling them to. And Father, I pray that you would use each one in a mighty way, and that they would give you the glory and the praise for all that you have done. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.